Welcome, lucky listeners. Grab yourselves a hot cup of... Tuck yourself down deep into the covers and make sure the lights are on. It's time for Read Me a Nightmare.
Welcome to episode 20 of Read Me a Nightmare. I'm Angelique Fons, your host, and if you like The Twilight Zone, this story is my homage to one of my favorite radio dramas. The Last Ride was originally published in the Corona Book of Ghost Stories and was one of my first semi-pro sales. And no, the coronavirus was not around when they chose the title The Corona Book of Ghost Stories. Read by Katerina Papadopoulos, a television and radio personality in the GTA Greek community, global TV producer, and close personal friend of mine. Stay tuned after the reading for an interview with Katerina about her career and future projects. You're going to love her Greek wisdom just as much as I do. So if you're at least 50 inches tall, climb on the Ferris wheel and make sure your lap bar is firmly secured.
Sabrina stared up at the abandoned Ferris wheel. It loomed, forgotten, on a rundown section of Myrtle Beach. It was impossible to tell what colors may have once decorated the swings sitting on the rusty frame. Dust and decay coating any memory of the laughing passengers of years ago. The crowds had migrated to the modern sky wheel located on the popular oceanfront boardwalk and promenade. It had a completely different feel to it, a metallic monstrosity which carried passengers in gondolas and soared an unbelievable height into the clouds. Sabrina didn't like riding the sky wheel. Being in a small enclosed space made her feel claustrophobic, just one of the many phobias she dealt with on a daily basis. In fact, there was nothing she liked about the popular tourist area. The crowds made her feel panicky. At 17 years old, she could be the poster child for mental health issues. Even now in March, after the school break crowds had gone back to class, it was still sensory overload. Cars blared music and cruised the main drag until all hours of the morning, some even with the modified shocks that made them jump up and down. Mothers hollered at oversugared kids tearing up and down the beach. A cool wind was blowing off the ocean tonight, making the open-air chairs rock and creak. This area was one of her favorite places to walk in the evening. There was something soothing about the boarded-up vacation cottages and decrepit boardwalks deemed not worth fixing after the last hurricane. They were damaged. She was damaged. Her ponytail had loosened and the strands were blowing into her eyes and face. Pulling the band off, she tried to tuck her hair back into its tight configuration. It took her three tries. Everything took her three tries. Every light switch had to be flipped three times. Her shoelaces tied three times. When she was typing her schoolwork, she read over every paragraph precisely three times. Her peculiarities really didn't start to manifest until puberty hit. As a child, they just thought she was quiet and shy. Then, as a tween, she became plagued with panic attacks and obsessive-compulsive behavior. Her parents hauled her to doctors and psychologists. The diagnosis was mild Asperger's syndrome, something they had missed when she was younger. She zoned out in the office when the doctor was explaining everything, so Sabrina Googled it later. Basically, you have normal intelligence and language, but impairment with social skills and prone to repetitive or restricted behavior. Yep, that was her, in a nutshell. She did go to therapy once a week to work on her communication and develop coping techniques, but honestly, it felt like a waste of time. How could she explain why she had to do almost everything in a multiple of three? She tried to give her mother and friends a physics lesson, how three was nature's favorite number, that there are three types of stable neutrons, the proton, the neutron, and the electron, and how all solid matter is made of atoms built entirely from these three particles. Science explained her OCD perfectly. One good thing she got out of high school. Everyone else was missing the logic. So she checked the lock three times after shutting the door, brushed her teeth for exactly 6 minutes, 33 strokes of her hair every night. Of course, she got teased at school because of it, or just ignored. There were a few kids who tolerated her, and she even had one close friend who found her quirky and fun. Deirdre started hanging out with her in seventh grade and never minded waiting while Sabrina zipped and unzipped her coat three times. Now they were both in grade 11, and Deirdre's social life had blossomed, while Sabrina became even more introverted. She had been invited out tonight with Deirdre and a few others to go to Applebee's for snacks. Sabrina felt ill thinking about the Friday night crowds at the chain restaurants. Plus, she hated watching the other girls roll their eyes when Sabrina started removing the ice cubes from her Sprite until there were exactly three cubes, or six or nine, in her glass. Instead, she was here, alone, staring up at a depressing amusement ride. She lied to her parents and told them that she was joining Deirdre for the girls' night out. Her folks were relieved whenever she put down a historical romance novel, her favorite escape, and went out like a normal teen. Her curfew was a reasonable 11 p.m., so that gave her plenty of time to stride the deserted streets, finding relief in the fresh air and solitude. She was about to start her loop back home when the Ferris wheel creaked and started to slowly rotate. What? Is anyone there? Is this a trick? Peering through the gloom, she couldn't see anyone at the base of the old amusement ride. In fact, there was a chain-link fence around the perimeter to discourage playing or climbing on it. The terrible creaking sound tore at her eardrums. Hello? Is anyone over there? This isn't a good joke. No one answered. Sabrina took a closer look at the chain link and found that someone had pulled up a section just big enough for a small person to crawl through. Dropping to her knees, she slithered through the opening, swearing when a bit caught and tore her jacket. The Ferris wheel was picking up speed, and she could hear soft music. Getting closer, she noticed the Ferris wheel wasn't as decrepit as she first thought. The music got louder, a funny jazz piece, then laughter and chatting. Sabrina closed her eyes and gave her head a shake to clear her ears. When she opened her eyes, things really didn't make sense. The sun was shining, people were milling everywhere, and a five-piece band was rocking out under a big white gazebo. It was like a scene from one of her historical romance novels. The Ferris wheel was shiny with fresh paint, and every seat was full. Ladies in frilly dresses, fascinators, and parasols sat delicately as they were whisked around and around. Kids laughed beside them, while men kept one arm around their dates and another on their hats. Sabrina stood there with her mouth open. What was this? Had she slipped, hit her head, and was now lying in the dirt? Taking her hand, she pinched her arm three times hard. Yes, it hurt, and yes, she was still standing in a world that had transformed itself into a lively and lovely day at an old-time fair. How many times had she read her novels and wished she could be whisked into the pages? Ma'am, step right up. We have a seat for you right here. A young man in a colorful suit called to her. The Ferris wheel slowed down and an empty chair stopped at the bottom. Sabrina hurried up the steps to the platform and took the young man's proffered hand. If she was dreaming, she might as well enjoy a ride. He helped her settle into an empty car and shut the safety bar tightly. Enjoy the view, ma'am, and have a lovely day. We hope you stay a while, he said with a big grin and a quick bow. The Ferris wheel started back up again, and it was glorious. The sun was warm, and the view was spectacular. There was no garish signs advertising tourist attractions, no big freeways, just trees and perfect little houses with the ocean glistening nearby. A small boy in the car in front of her turned backwards and waved at her enthusiastically. Sabrina felt happy. After several rotations, the Ferris wheel slowed, stopped, and Sabrina's car rocked gently at the top of the structure. Must be time to load on new passengers, she thought. A woman in the chair behind her shouted, "You can stay here forever if you want." Sabrina turned and saw a lovely young lady in a yellow frilly dress and matching feather hat. "You can live here with us and ride the Ferris wheel whenever you want," the yellow lady said. "How can I do that?" Sabrina asked, feeling excited. She didn't want the ride to end. "You just have to jump," said a man in a dapper blue suit from the front car. He must be the child's father. "What? How does that make any sense?" Sabrina asked. "You can stay here forever. We have fun every day," his son said, bouncing on his knees in the seat. "Yes, stay with us, Sabrina. Join us, Sabrina. We want you, Sabrina," all the riders on the Ferris wheel started to chant. The sound of their voices and the rocking of the Ferris wheel in the breeze seemed almost hypnotic. What would she be going home to? A life where she was lonely? Where she never fitted in? Just jump, Sabrina, and you can have fun forever in this wonderful world, the yellow-dressed lady said. Yes, she could stay here forever, like living in one of her books. She started pushing up the safety latch. The voices got more excited as the sounds of the band faded. Yes, Sabrina, join us, Sabrina. Jump, Sabrina. She raised the safety bar up once and brought it back down again. Then she did it for a second time. Hurry, Sabrina. We are so hungry, Sabrina. Her hand paused as she heard the voices chanting. Hungry? She looked away from the latch toward the lady in the yellow dress. Except this time, her dress was ripped and black, and her face was no longer peach perfect with rosy cheeks. Bones peeked out from decayed flesh. The little boy was gray with missing teeth and one eye lolling out of its socket. Clouds had passed in front of the sun and shadows darkened the fair. Sabrina gasped and shoved away from the safety bar. She had just been starting her third unlocking of the latch, the final unlatching. Damn, too greedy. The ghoul turned back into a pretty lady and smiled at her. The music swelled again and the clouds passed on. Come on, Sabrina, you will love living with us. Sabrina pushed her body back against the seat and took a tight grip of the bars. She couldn't believe how close she had come to jumping. Would she have been committing suicide? Keeping her eyes screwed tight, she counted to 12. When she opened her eyes, it was night again, and she was sitting in a rusted old car swinging at the top of the Ferris wheel. The people, the music, and the old town were gone. She could hear the whistling of the wind and the distant roar of the interstate, but no brassy band. How had the Ferris wheel moved? If she wasn't 100 feet in the air, she could have told herself she imagined the whole thing. She didn't have her cell phone on her. She'd wanted solitude, so had come out without it. As for sure, Deirdre would be calling her, telling her to come join the crowd. So she couldn't phone anyone for help. There was no one on the streets to call to, and she definitely didn't want to spend another minute on this haunted contraption. Looking down, she saw that there was a complicated configuration of bars and struts holding the ride together. It looked climbable. Taking a deep breath, she crawled out of the car and slowly made her way down. Were those hands plucking at her t-shirt? The metal was cold and rough under her palms, but she hung on tightly and scrambled down. A few little cuts started bleeding on her palms where stiff, peeling paint and rough metal nicked them. She thought she could hear a whispering in her ear. Jump, Sabrina. Let go, Sabrina. It would be so easy. Distracting herself, she envisioned the atoms of the Ferris wheel in groups of three and muttered to herself, We have three atoms, which become six, which become nine, which become 12. She still imagined cold hands and voices, but she could become completely distracted when she counted atoms. Grunting and concentrating, she made her way down to the ground. As soon as her feet hit the dirt, she scrambled back under the fence and turned around to look back. The antique cars swung slowly and hypnotically in the breeze, but they weren't rotating. Shuddering, she swore to herself that that was the very last time she would ever ride a Ferris wheel. As she started walking away, there was a whisper in the breeze. Come back, Sabrina. We will be waiting.
I hope you enjoyed this reading of The Last Ride. If you have a minute, please remember to leave a review wherever you find your podcasts. Now, let's chat for a few moments with Katerina Papadopoulos. Hi, I'm here with Katerina. Thank you so much for reading The Last Ride.
Oh, it was my pleasure, Ange. You know I adore you.
Okay, so Katerina actually has a long career in broadcasting and is a radio personality. So why don't you tell me a little bit about what you've done?
What I've done, yeah. So prior to doing radio, I did work as an on-air host and producer for a Greek language program in the city of Toronto. And I did that from 1988 to 2001. My brain can't do the math anymore. But that's when I stopped doing that Greek language program and got my job at Global, which is where I met you day one. And,
that's right.
And I'm so grateful for that day. So I met you day one, 2001, I think it was April, and then I started working at Global in the on-air promotions department. But then my love for doing community based television and radio was still in me, the love. And I was offered a position in a at a radio station, and a Greek broadcaster who has the broadcast rights in Canada for all programming in Greece. My show that I do nightly is very magazine in format. I'd like to say I'm John Tesh of the Greek community. It's informative. It's magazine. I don't do news. I don't do hard news. I didn't talk about COVID. I'm not talking about the war. It's all about entertainment. It's light. It's fluffy. It's did you knows at the very end. And it's in English with Greek music. And I do have an audience base who tell me that they listen to me. They love that they can hear the Greek music, but have an English voice to kind of like, you know, talk about other things. It's 1 hour and I love it. And that's why I continue to do it. And I figured I would do it for as long as I loved it. And I still continue to love it. So,
oh, that's excellent.
So that's the history in a nutshell.
It's very good. So where do you see your career going?
You know what? I'm actually at that age, although I sound a lot younger and look a lot younger than I am, but I'm also at that age where instead of looking at career paths and future career paths, I'm actually looking at exit strategies. I'm actually at a point in my life where I'm thinking, how can I wind this down instead of ramping it up? In so doing, I also am thinking about what do I want to do? I want to do things that I want to do. So if I'm not, like, say, when I retire, I want to continue perhaps doing some radio on my terms, and not because I need to work, but because I want to, and
right,
not because I have to. Career path at the moment, like if some great offer came up to me right now, I'd take it. But at the same time, I'm very happy doing what I'm doing. And, you know, I'm at that point in my life where I no longer need to stress about, you know, becoming the manager in the department or moving up the ladder or that type of thing. I'm quite content to roll out the next few years just the way they are.
We were talking about you love travel and you have a big trip on the horizon.
Yes.
But I like how you're talking about, will this be the first time you're going to go on a trip like this by yourself?
No. By myself? No, because I was single for a very long time and vacationed and made sure that I got out there, because my late father used to say, when the opportunity for travel comes up, take it, see the world. So there have been times where I've gone with girlfriends. I'm in a relationship now, a very long-term committed relationship. We have traveled a lot together, but I am planning a sidebar alone trip without my significant other to a place we've both visited. I was born and raised, or not raised so much, but I was born in Australia. We have gone there together. I have a huge family base there, and I would like to go on my own, because again, I'm at that point in my life where I want to do things irrespective of the
right
company. I want to do things in my life, and one of them is to go back to Australia. I have a cousin there who makes soap. If you want a poster child for a hippie, that's my cousin Sue. She now makes soap and is extremely successful. And when we visited her 4 years ago, or was it 6 years ago, she was unpacking because she was doing a market that was on the cliff overlooking the Pacific Ocean.
Oh,
and
life.
I thought to myself, yes,
yes. You might not come back.
Maybe, I don't know. And I am planning on going when it's summer there. So, you know what? I always say that this is the plan. And I always remind myself that man plans and God laughs.
That's right. It's true. We were talking earlier a little bit about sort of the changing perception of women in media.
Yes.
What do you perceive as how especially older women are portrayed?
There's this Greek saying, and you know, I know you love my Greek sayings, but there's this very famous Greek saying, when a young person wants to tell an older person that they know more, or that, you know, the older person is too old to know what's going on. My father used to say this to me all the time, and I'll translate it. And it basically says, where you are, I was, and where I am, you'll be.
So true.
So be careful, because you will be me 10 years from now. So do not think that you have youth on your side for too long.
And then I think, did you hear about Hazel McCallion, the mayor of Mississauga?
Working at one. She just took a new job, didn't she?
Yeah, 101.
And it's a 3-year contract, isn't it?
God bless her.
Good for her.
And then I'm thinking, if she's not your inspiration for, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
So long as we have our health, Ange, and so long as we're able to work and we can prove that we can go toe-to-toe with anybody else.
I agree with you.
Yes.
But I have new dreams and there's so much more I still want to accomplish, like the writing, like this podcast. Like I still feel like there's a whole nother mountain I want to conquer and learn about in writing short stories, like the one you just read.
Yeah.
Which it's funny, when you do something like this, and I wrote The Last Ride, I was so proud of it when I wrote it. But now that I'm taking writing courses and I'm further along in my writing career, I can see all the errors I made and it just kills me a little bit. That
Yeah. But that's part of growing and learning and, you know, and you can be proud of the first baby step, you know, and take a million of those baby steps later and look back. But it shouldn't take away from how proud you were to make that first baby step with all the errors.
I guess so. But then, you know, I think
you become
now,
critical for sure.
You know what's really interesting? This is just an aside. That story, The Last Ride, was published by the Corona Book of Ghost Stories.
Wow.
And they called themselves the Corona Book of Horror, the Corona Book of Ghost Stories before the coronavirus.
That's
and it
funny.
it just basically ruined them, though.
Oh,
it's
no.
Like they were unable to, like... I'm just thinking, what are your dreams now? What's the next mountain you want to conquer?
Yeah, well, that's a good question, Ange. And I've always said that if I had the opportunity to go back to school, I would. And a few years ago, I was even considering taking property management courses, right?
Amazing, yeah.
And, you know, and to kind of give myself that skill set and perhaps help my partner who is in a construction and perhaps offer my services in a way to be able to do something that I want to with a new skill set. However, do I want to do that or maybe stay on the creative end of things and do something altogether different? I've also started to write.
Oh,
so I wrote, I wrote a memoir and I haven't shared this with you. So I have told my story from being a single mother when my son was a year and a half and how I maintained a house, lived with my mom and did all these things and worked. And I've told this story so many times that I decided to actually put it to paper to perhaps be an inspiration for someone who thinks that they can't get through something like that. Well, I'm proof and I can offer life hacks on how you can, you know.
You know, when I met you, you were underwater a bit.
Right. Yeah. A lot of underwater.
You were able to climb your way out of this hole and become comfortable and successful, basically.
Thank you, Ange. I don't know. Comfortable, yes. Successful, maybe. I don't know.
Again, I would say so.
Thank you, my love. So there's writing. And another thing that I did was through the Greek community, there's a woman who puts on a theatrical production every year. She's amazing. She's incredibly talented. I actually, me and my son had an idea after losing my mom 3 years ago. We had an idea for a play because the Greek community puts on a play every year. They haven't because of COVID. So we have come up with a little script for a very short play that is not Greek specific. And without revealing too much, it has to do with our aging population and how it's perceived and how it's perceived in homes that are traditional, ethnic homes. And so we hammered out a bit of a script. And so when you talk about what do I want to do, I want to do that kind of thing. I'm sort of following in your footpath. And like, just, you know what? Now you're at an age where you're like, you're able to look back and think, you know, I can put pen to paper. Even for my own self, it's cathartic to just be able to say, I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. But why not get people to read it? Why not get people to see it?
Right? You might as well put it out there. What's
Absolutely.
The worst that's going to happen?
Yeah, you've been my inspiration. You are inspiring and you are so good at what you do. And I think a lot of it has to
Very
do...
Very sweet of you to
No,
say.
And I think a lot of it has to do with how much you love to communicate. And, you know, when you're communicators, that's kind of the path you follow.
It's important, right? I guess that's why we even took the careers we're in, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, promotions and...
Yep.
I can't wait to hear that. So where are you going to market it? Where is this play going to be?
So the play
it's likely going to be, because of COVID and everything, and because there's a lot of prep work that's involved, you need at least 6 months. This would be through the Greek community, through this woman who puts on a play every year, and it's marketed toward the Greek community because it will be in Toronto, in the greater Toronto area, because it will be half in English, half in Greek.
Where will it be? Where can our listeners find out more about it? Is there a website or
Not currently, but you know what? When more becomes available and when it's much more solidified,
we'll do a part two.
We can absolutely do a part two, and I can definitely let you know, Ange.
You can interview with me. And by the way, Kat is actually sitting beside me, so this has got to be my favorite interview yet because it's in person.
Great.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ange.
Thank you for listening and hanging in till the very end. If you want to learn more about The Last Ride and the Corona Book of Short Stories, visit my website at www.fonz.ca. Sleep with your lights on until the next episode of Read Me a Nightmare.